We have somebody else join in. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, I'm Barbara from San Mateo, California.
Hello, Barbara. Good evening. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
Doing just fantastic. And I just heard a little bit of music come in over BBS radio. I believe it's dark, right? Or is it dawn? If you can pump it up a little bit for us on the phone line, would be great.
Oh, that's perfect the way it is.
Thank you. Oh, I think... Cass is live at this moment. Welcome, everybody, at BBS. If you have tuned in already... This is a Monday night. More people checking in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Noel. Cool.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hello, Wynn.
Am I clear?
You're loud and clear.
Good.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi. We're in a motel room in Florida.
All right.
If anyone's interested.
Are you on the beach?
We are, And Wynn, can you share with us how Joanna's doing?
Talking, she's opens her eyes and you can see that she's aware and she's paying attention. And you know, it's a difficult situation because it doesn't look like she can actually heal and be functional from the place she's at. You know, she has broken bones that can't be repaired. Her skin is her bones are very brittle. And so it's kind of in a holding space. And that's where she is.
But she feels your love, Wynn.
Oh, I know. I was sitting there holding her hand yesterday and today.
Hi, Morgan, California. Hi, glad everybody's, I hope everybody's well.
Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Don. I sent you an email saying, what's the phone number for tonight? But I sent it, and I went back to my own emails, and it was already there. So it just came in, so we're all set. Great.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt anything. Sorry.
You know what? It's good to feel worthy enough to interrupt, not have ego about it.
Welcome in, everybody. This is a Monday call, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Minnesota, this is Johnson from Kingman.
All right. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, I got feedback. You did awesome.
Thank you.
How did you think you did?
I'm glad the way
I'm glad the way.
What?
Echoing
high.
I'm hearing an echo.
Let's see. Okay, I think I have it over here. All right, again, the echo has gone. So you know, if I mute your line, it's most likely because you have speakerphone on and never have an echo feedback. So.
Actually, we don't do that.
I recognize.
Really,
I laugh. Good evening, Carla.
Hey.
How you doing?
It's good to be here.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
And more people keep checking in. Welcome, everybody. This is the Monday call, and we have Carla is with us already in this room. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Yeah, it's Brandon, Yonkers, New York.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Kim in Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida.
Oh, welcome. Hi, Joel. Welcome to the call.
Jim, in Sarasota, you asked me a question that I never answered.
About 2 months
ago? Do you remember the question? Do you remember the question?
I think you already answered it.
I did? I answered all your questions?
Yep.
Okay.
I believe so. I'm not hanging on to that, though, Lynn. I've moved on.
I think the question was about charging for service. All right, never mind.
Oh. Yeah, I remember now.
Do
you want to answer it now?
Hey, when I record you for it.
Yeah, and Wind Van Island. Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Lori from Portland.
Hello, Lori. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Hi, Nancy. Lando. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Josh in Arkansas.
Hi, Josh. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Chris in Anchorage.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Well, good evening. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Francis.
I'm
from Concord, California.
Francis, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Is it Hyde or is it Heist? Or I've heard...
It is. Yes.
How is it spelled?
G from George, I from Isaac, J from Jack, F, and I did not come up with it.
Is it German? It's very guttural.
Dutch.
It is German, yeah.
Listen, I put it in my address, but it's H-A-A-Z.
Okay. I tell people to pronounce it like H-I-C-E.
Hi.
Now. Good evening. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
My name's Michael, and I'm at Waterville. And I'm wondering how Wynn and Terry and Daphne are feeling.
I cannot answer this question, but you're welcome to the call, Michael.
Thank you.
Hi, Michael. You want to know something?
Yes.
Thank you for caring, and that is the most important aspect of it. It really doesn't matter how we feel, unless you can fix it.
Hi, can I ask you a question about volume? My phone only goes so high, and I have a trouble when, like, the last part of the phone conversation. I struggle to hear it. I have excellent hearing, but I just can't hear low tones.
The first thing that comes to my mind is Q-tips.
No, I'm telling you, I have mine in somebody else's hearing.
Can you hear us right now?
I can't hear that
at
all.
Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me?
No. No.
Hello?
No.
Hello, everyone.
Lisa!
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm alive.
Testing.
You're there, Wynn, but you're way in the back.
Testing 1 2 3 1 2. That's better, right?
No.
Once we mute the lines, I think things will improve.
Okay.
Hello. I can see myself. Wait a second. Louder.
Please.
On the meter here.
Hey, Heist. Could you spell your name one more time?
G from George. I from Isaac. J from Jack. S from Sam.
Thank you.
Sound like Terry.
That's right, that's me.
Hello, Teddy. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Teddy.
Your name?
It is, but in my country, you get a birth name and a nickname or a call name.
So, Hyde.
Yes.
Are there other people with
Hyde? It's an old fashioned name. There are a few.
Where do you originate from?
Dutch.
Holland. No. Holland would make it the same place as Boston.
No, Holland.
No, Holland.
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 And,
I can't hear. I can't hear any of it.
We're going to meet up.
It'll get better.
It'll get better.
So let me mute the line. Oh, you have it, okay. I'll do the star 8, okay?
You aren't loud enough, Lynn. You need
Donna's
to be louder.
Is that not loud right now? You can't hear me?
It's better.
Hang on a second.
That's better.
That's better.
That's better now, right now?
Yeah, much better.
All right. Okay. Now, we can eliminate BBS.
Muted.
And we can go and take off the tones. And did you start the recording, Heise? No?
You want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Now, you guys that are listening, this is all that happens on those really... When you listen to Rush Limbo, which I hope you don't, but you're hearing all the things that happen behind the scenes, that when you have thousands of dollars an hour to pay, tens of thousands, you can have everything perfect. But when you're operating in spirit, you learn to travel through the imperfection, and it's more like your life. So, this is educational because we're learning to travel through spirit, and part of spirit is, I've learned, learning how to flow through how it is right now, which is usually imperfect. And once you learn to flow through that, that's, I believe, where mastery comes from. Because as you learn to find...
Hey, Will, I haven't started the recorder yet, okay?
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Forget I said any of that. Okay, go ahead, Hi.
3, 2, 1.
Really good. This conference is being recorded.
Now, you see, we were just talking about perfection and flow and imperfection and that mastery, and I thought this was being recorded, so I was on my very best. And, that how mastery means learning how to flow, this is my take on it, learning how to flow through imperfection. And that in this planet, then as you flow through imperfection, you learn to make it perfect, or at least treat it like it's perfect. And so as things come up, which would be dilemmas, which would be panics, which would be, what do I do now? Somehow or another, you make it through. And you don't make it through like an amateur. You make it through like you know what you're doing. And you handle it. And all of us on this line, all of us who are the anchor points of this line, meaning Terry, myself, Carla, and I don't know if I want to include Heise because he's kind of perfect, but the rest of us,
are learning to flow through our imperfection. And the fact that we're on this call and you guys are still listening means we must be learning it as well, because you're listening to us and we're not getting boring. And yet, this is by intention, the way it is. And that it's kind of the seat of the pants. And one thing about the seat of the pants is it keeps me interested. Keeps my energy heightened, because I don't know what's going to happen next. And neither does Terry, and neither does Carla. But I did do more preparation for this call than I usually do for our calls, because we're going to go through some of the raw material. And for those of you who are listening, not tuned in yet as to what the raw material is, excuse me, I say this, but I know there's someone who will feel left out if I don't say it. The Ra is a group soul, or says they're a group soul, and that from 1981 to 1983, this group soul spoke through Carla Ruckert, who's on the line with us, when she was in a trance, and was answering questions of a very bright PhD, I think he was, I don't know if he was a physics major. Was he physics, Carla?
Degrees were in mechanical engineering and general engineering, but he taught physics.
Right. Okay. So he was really smart, and this group soul was inviting him to ask questions. So for 3 years, he asked questions, and they seemed to indicate that they looked for someone in this realm that they could trust for 200 years before they would come forth. And do this. And Carla was the person. I shouldn't say just Carla. It was Carla and the group who were holding the energy. And as Carla corrected me on last week, it was the group that was holding the space while she went into trance and brought through the messages. And that this group's soul was explaining their place in history, how the universe works, in ways that had never, ever been explained in the history of mankind. And there were four books generated out of this called Ra, the Law of One. And if you read some of the reviews on Amazon, which I suggest, they're just through the roof. And as we do this, like I do with all of our materials, I say, you don't have to believe any of this. You don't have to believe it's a group soul. We know for a fact that Carla went into trance and voices were speaking through her, and they answered some amazing questions. And for some people, these answers, some of them, trigger deep subconscious memories, which they already knew. Did that for me. And so I knew at least to some extent it was accurate. And I think you'll find this dialogue mind-blowing. You know, Carla has been my guest quite a few times. And oftentimes, we just have talked about things from our own human levels, conscious levels. And we never tried going through this stuff on the raw material until last week. And the reason I did it was the week before I started doing this just by myself. And I got a lot of really, really good feedback from people. And you'll have to excuse me because I'm sneezing, so I mute the microphone. So if you hear a pause, you can listen for a psychic sneeze, and I'm probably doing it. And here goes another one. Wait a second. Now that I've said that, I can do it live, right? I might consider doing one live. My sneezes are loud, So be prepared for all you people that can't hear anything, that got your volumes up. There's going to be a whoosh of a sneeze coming through your speakers. Well, so we did this, and I don't think too many people have. Has anyone ever done this kind of live thing with you, Carla, on the raw material?
Not with me. There have been study groups all over the world.
Yeah.
That have
right.
met online and talked about the raw material online, but not with me.
All right.
So, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think the only reason I can do this is because we're both good. You know, I seem to be able to understand this material at a deep level, on an intuitive level. I don't approach it intellectually. And there are some amazing things. Even today, every time I read it, I say, God, look what they just said. And, I want to mention this. I think I have this right. Now, you can correct me. But when I was putting together some of the things for tonight, I don't want to miss this one. One of the things that knocked my socks off slightly was, does it help for a person to understand what fourth density is for them to graduate? And they said, no, it doesn't help. So for all of you that are asking questions, well, will we be flying? What does this mean? What is it going to feel like? Don't worry about it. It doesn't help to know. Do you remember that, Carla? Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I said that the only thing that was really necessary was that you understood that you couldn't know anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So many people get so hungry to know when they hear about this stuff, and they think if they know things, they know where they're going, and they have some sense of control. And it doesn't work that way. It's not
There's
control.
There's no stairway to heaven.
You can't control yourself here. You know, you have to let go. And it's like what I hope that we demonstrate on these calls is like a letting go. That you can let go. Just let go. Let go. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Okay. Don't worry about whether you graduate or not. You know, don't worry. Just say, I'm going to be in the moment. Because if I have it, my own understanding in order, everything you worry about is a step backwards. That's one of the problems of even knowing about this idea of graduation, because it starts people worrying, okay? So you've just come through 1,000 lifetimes, you've arrived here, and you're still going, and in a worst-case scenario, you'll just continue like this, and you won't remember in between lives, and you'll keep coming back and learning lessons. And in the big space of the universe, see, the other thing is that time doesn't exist. So if time doesn't exist, what's another 50,000 years coming back and forth from no time to time to no time to time? See, time doesn't exist. It's only an illusion. So that we can experience our own lives. And, you know, it's kind of a silly thing because, you know, people, the Indians call this Maya. They say this is illusion. It doesn't exist. But the problem is, when you're in the middle of the illusion, it feels like it exists. It feels so real. And the pain is so good. That's where they have this illusion down. With pain and suffering. And yet it's an illusion. And how do we reconcile this? We're going to be talking to Carla and reading some of the Ra material. And again, Ra is a group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm. What does that mean? They mastered the illusion. They got outside of time. And then they were spirit forms, and they were energy forms. And what does that mean? It's hard to imagine, okay? Although, when you empty your mind, sometimes you can feel their energy forms visit you if you invite them. So, they have a reality to them. but not like the reality that we experience in 3D. Carla, why don't you add anything you want or correct anything I said to that intro?
All right. I think it was well said, and there wasn't anything wrong with it. It's true that everything is an illusion, but our science has been telling us that for as long as I've been alive, talking about how if you look closely enough with a microscope, you get down to the atomic level, and you're looking at atoms and molecules, and they are mostly space. If you put the middle of an atom in the middle of a 50-yard line on a playing field, a football field, the first electron is up in the highest stand in the big house. That's how a little Pete up there in the top seat in the big house, and you know that's mostly ether. There's nothing to us. It's an illusion, and it's a wonderful illusion because it is the basis for our taking life and. Each life is an opportunity for us to learn and to serve. And when we break away from whatever is holding us back from loving this illusion and loving this school of souls, and you get, you know, free of all that, and all of a sudden, my goodness, you know, it's like here's all of nature and all of mankind and all of everything we ever run into that's catalyst for us, and we get to meet it all, and we get to experience it all, and even if it's difficult, I think maybe sometimes especially if it's difficult, it brings us right into the deepest part of ourselves, and we learn about our essence, and we learn about how strong we are, and how much help we have that's unseen, and we learn about the beauty of other people. I've got the most beautiful husband. And I know beautiful people like Lynn and the people that work around me at L&L Research. It's all a labor of love that we're in here. And it's wonderful that each of you is part of this collaboration. I want to thank each of you for just being you. It's such an appreciated thing. I'm in love with all of you. It's so vivifying and so wonderful.
Thank you so much. And I have a whole series of questions that comes under the title, Before the Veil. Remember that series, Carla?
Oh, yeah. Don was really pressing to get information.
Now, what does Before the Veil mean? When we take a body, we forget everything about all this stuff above our body. We've asked a lot of questions like that. The voice that says they're the Elohim. And they've explained that we come into a body, we get the senses of the body, and the body can't sense the things that are not in 3D. So you have to pick it up in other ways. When you have things like vibes, intuitive flashes, certain kinds of people who channel, you start penetrating this veil and get an idea of how things work in the big picture. So I'm going to start out, we're going to just read this. This is Don Elk. The question is, this is 7717, okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm doing this session. You have it open? Are you going to open it up?
Yeah.
Would it be possible for this work of our density to be performed if all of the sub-logi shows the same polarity in any particular expression or evolution of the logos? Let us make the assumption that our sun created nothing but through the first distortion, positive polarity. There was no product except positive polarity. Would work then be done in fourth density and higher as a function of only the positive polarization evolving from the original creation of our sub logos. Now, I know I'm gonna interpret that. I mean, I know most of you didn't understand that, so I want to explain what's really being asked and the use of the words. Okay, now in the Ra language, they called the original creation the logos, and that everything that came thereafter was a sub-logos or a sub-sub-logos or a sub-logi, and we are sub-logi. Now, when I read the material and they talked about the logos, I felt that they were talking about the Elohim and the original one infinite creator, which was here before there was a physical universe. But they never used the word Elohim, so we can leave that idea open. But now, they're saying, according to the Ra material, the way the universe was created, that each of the sub-logi or the sub-intelligences, the sub-creations, would create the laws or the rules for their realm. So, in other words, if there was a galaxy, the galaxy had a consciousness, and the galaxy would create the rules for the solar systems in that galaxy. And the solar system would create its set of rules for the planets. And the planet would set its set of rules for the inhabitants of the planet. So, in other words, this goes right down from original source. There's a downloading of different ways that things can evolve by the rules that are being set up by each of the sub-logi. And the question that he's asking here, that what happened if the sub-logi was only going to choose positive polarity? In other words, nothing negative. If I understand this correctly, the negative can only exist because the sub-logi has said we're allowing the negative to exist in this creation that we're part of, okay? So what would happen? Would people grow into fourth density if everything was positive? And let me turn it over to Carla and see if she agrees with my vocabulary explanations, and we'll go on and read the answer.
Okay. Well, the only thing that I would say is I think the correct pronunciation of all of us is sub-logoi. Otherwise, you'd have logis and logels.
Okay. And that would get you in trouble with the feminists.
Other than that, you were fine. Yeah, he was just trying to find out, you know, what would happen. What would happen if there was no product of our lives? There was no vibration except positive. What would happen to the densities above this one if there wasn't any choice to make in between positive, you know, service to self and service to others?
Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to make a clarification on the way Carla describes service to self to service to others. And because sometimes, Carla, the way you say that makes it sound. Now, this is I hope we don't lose our whole thing. This is an important point, though. Makes it sound like a person could actually choose. And, I mean, there is a choice, but that a person could say, I'm going to be service to others, and then they think they're going to be a nice guy, and that makes everything work. Or I'm going to be service to self, and I'm going to be cruel, and I'm going to be acquisitive. And I got that it's not quite as easy as a choice. Although for some people it might be a choice. For some people it might be. For most people it's more difficult than just a choice.
Oh, I agree with that. Because you know, you're born with a certain personality, and a lot of people, sad to say, are born selfish and bullies. And we see it in our schools. There's no question about it. But I do think that there is, you don't get very far in negative polarity absolutely. That's you know,
right.
That's one instrument. The people that create high levels of negative polarity are the people that use it like a scalpel and are very aware of what they're doing and are into doing it more and, you know, creating situations in which the people are truly pawns.
Yeah, at the highest level, at the higher levels of negative
polarity. Yeah, there are a lot of bullies around that have no idea that it was good or bad. It's just the way they feel.
Right. You have black magic masters arranging templates. What's a template? A template is something that is outside of this realm. It's like a pattern that things fall into. And they're setting up templates at a very high level. I mean, they're not even embodied. They're setting up templates so that humanity will fall under these templates and end up enslaved. Am I saying that in a way that makes sense to you?
To me, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, now, according to the raw material, this is all done in some way with the cooperation of the solar system, the sun, and the earth. Or at least it was originally set up with that, them setting up these rules of how beings in this realm would evolve. So let me read Ra's answer to the question. And elements of this query illustrate the reason I was unable to answer your previous question without knowledge of the logos involved. To turn to your question, there were logi which chose to set the plan for the activation of mind-body-spirit complexes through each true color body without recourse to the prior application of free will. It is, to our knowledge, only in an absence of free will that the conditions of which you speak obtain. In such a procession of densities, you find an extraordinarily long, as you measure time, third density, likewise fourth density. Then as the entities begin to see the Creator, there is a very rapid, as you measure time, procession towards the eighth density. This is due to the fact that one who knows not cares not. Now, that's a good one to interpret. That's deep, all right? And if some of you phased out while I read that, don't worry, because even I slightly phased out. Okay, so I'm gonna say, just like, first of all, they're saying that to have just positive, you can't do that without losing your free will. Did you hear that? Is that what I said?
Well, it's the other way around. It's only in the absence of free will that.
Absence of free will. Yeah. It's only in an absence of free will that the conditions of which you speak obtain. So in other words, why is it to have all this positive, you know, just to have the positive requires an absence of free will? That's because there's no choices. You're giving everybody what they want. You're making them happy. And it's like a guy that's brought up in a rich family who can have everything he wants. He doesn't, oftentimes, he's not in the position where he will grow because he has what he wants all the time. And I don't know, I'm just thinking this.
That's where the Buddha's travels began, remember?
Yeah.
He had everything he wanted, and all of a sudden he thought, you know, it's not enough. So he went on this long journey. And that's the beginning of the story that the yogis are interested in, and the Buddhists believe in.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go to another sentence in there, okay? And they're also saying that if you're brought up in that kind of setup, that your evolution is going to be really long to go from third density to fourth density, and particularly from fourth upwards. So you would think it would make it faster, but it doesn't. It is the polarity coming through the polarities that propels you to higher growth, not just having a good time in this realm. Does not propel you to higher growth. Let me go on. Let us illustrate by observing the relative harmony and unchanging quality of existence in one of your, as you call it, primitive tribes. The entities have the concept of lawful and taboo, but the law is inexorable, and all events occur as predestined. There is no concept of right and wrong, good or bad. It is a culture in monochrome. In this context, you may see the one you call Lucifer as the true light bringer, in that the knowledge of good and evil both precipitated the mind-body spirits of this logos from the hedonic conditions of constant contentment, but also provided the impetus to move, to work, and to learn. Those logi whose creations have been set up without free will have not, in the feeling of those logi, given the Creator the quality and variety of experience of itself, as have those logi which have incorporated free will as paramount. Thusly, you find those logi moving through the timeless states at what you would see as a later space-time to choose the free will character when elucidating the foundations of each logos. All right, Carla, we're confusing everybody. That is so deep.
Did you lose the sand there? It's nice to have the sand between your toes. Just think, all is love, all is one. That's
right.
The sand, that's the foundation. What they're saying basically is that the agony that we go through is very helpful because of the fact that it brings out in us our true self. It brings out in us our true choices. And when we catch on to the fact that we actually do have choices, and we don't just have to be a victim of the incoming catalyst, it's wonderful to play with it. It's wonderful to dance with it. And all of a sudden, you become a player, a dancer of. It's very tempting to use games that call for a lot of body skill, football, soccer, these people that go to great lengths and hurl their bodies in various attitudes just to get a little ball to where it's supposed to go. You know exactly where you want to go at the point at which you sort of awaken. You go, okay, yeah, I want to serve. I love people, and I want to make something of my life. I want to leave this life having been of service to somebody. And the Creator is in the wings applauding, because now it's going to get interesting. Now there's going to be a true choice, because this person has suffered, has asked, has cried out on their knees, why? And that person is ready for the light, is ready to see what's happening. And it's a wonderful thing when people wake up. And, you tend to wake up, I guess, during your college years. Some wake up earlier. Others wake up quite a bit later. We have people writing in that experienced that marvelous joy of first getting it, I read The Law of One, writes a 70-year-old person, and all of a sudden my life has changed. And it's changed for the better. It's changed for that which calls forth beauty and nobility and all of the qualities that we have within us that leave their mark because of the fact that we have earned them. We have earned the depth that these difficulties bring us. And we couldn't get there if it was all beautiful and delightful and nothing ever changed. The sun was always shining and, you know, the music was always playing on tune. And it was all just so beautiful, but it was always that way. And there was no one to help because everybody was just fine. You know, so now in a situation with a lot of free will, there are a lot of people to help. And you know how you help them is by just passively making that choice. You don't have to do much to make things different for the, you know, the larger picture is changed when you maintain yourself in a vibration of love. And when you see yourself slipping, you know, which is inevitable every day by 10:30, you know, all my prayers for living a beautiful day have just been shot dead. And I'm scratching my head about something. But, you know, then there's that choice point. You say, okay, hey, this is time for me to get, you know, get dancing. I'm going to dance with this. And instead of being afraid of it, instead of going around it, instead of trying to hide from it, you go straight through it. And you learn so much in doing that. And it's all true, and it's all real. And you're living an authentic life. And things become not monochrome, but 3D. And, you know, you're living a very spectacular life. As Wynn has said so often, just a smile to somebody on the street does so much to change that person. You know, you have no idea, honestly.
When you stop looking for feedback, which is really hard for most people, but when you stop looking for feedback and approval and applause, and you just be in the moment, you would be I'm amazed. I mean, I look at things over time. The people that I said something to, that I did something with, and years later sometimes, it comes back and they tell me, if you didn't say that, all these things wouldn't have happened in my life. And I changed somebody's life tremendously. I'll tell you a story. There were, you know, I used to sell things at festivals. And I took this guy. One time I had the idea of saving the homeless and teaching them how to sell. And I took this one guy to a festival, and he was absolutely miserable. His language with people, he sounded like a street person. And I said, I can't ever bring him out again. And I treated him well. I dropped him back at his little spot where he slept and went on with my life. And then 2 years later, I had my car at the mechanic, and I had to take the bus to get to my mechanic. And who was there in the bus but this guy who I had taken to that show? And he came up to me, and he was hugging me and saying, man, look at this. And he opened up this case where he had all these watches. He said, I learned to sell from you. I'm earning a living. I'm renting a room somewhere. Thank you. Well, you just never know. You never know when you're going to make a difference. And so often, most people have the problem that they want some kind of acknowledgement and approval in the moment. And when they don't get it, they don't do stuff. And that's a very important concept because, you know, when you do things for any reason other than doing them, you're involved in exchange in the world, even if it's just approval. That's exchange. And when you do things just to do them without caring what happens as a result, you become part of the creator team contributing to this world. And you just know you're doing it, and the more you do it, the more you see how it works. And if you want to get out of this realm, one of the ways to do it is think of yourself as part of the creator team, and your job is to uplift this realm, uplift the people, give them the tools they need, and stop looking for give and take. Even if give and take is a thank you, or you're so wonderful, or you're so smart, or Carly, you're so loving, we love to hear you, or, whatever it is.
And that's so frustrating to me, in a way. I mean, this sounds goofy, I know, but I've always hoped in my life that people would look at me and see Jesus. They would look at me and see the Christ. And I just hope that, I'm living as Jesus would have wanted me to live and serving in his house. And I always hope and pray that people will look into my face and see the Lord. And now it's Carla, you're wonderful. And I'm going, oh, there it goes again. You're mistaking me for someone else.
Well, you know what? You know what? It's like getting your human side out of the way and letting things flow through you is what it takes. And that's what starts to elevate you into higher flows, into higher realms, and not looking at it from the human way, okay? Look at this. We're so slow, Carly. You realize how slow we are in getting through this? But look at all the stuff.
Well, you have to chew it. I mean, the raw material is dense.
It's dense. Yeah. People think they can understand. And the bad news is like, even if you read it and understand it, you still may not graduate this realm. So, you have to understand how to not understand, okay? To be in, I'm sure you've come across, even I've come across them, raw material fundamentalists.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm talking about?
They're the one that treated like a Bible.
Right.
Not on my watch is my only statement there.
Yeah.
If they get too much like that, I show them the movie I made.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That'll do
the
it.
The one where you were topless.
The one where I was topless, yeah. That'll just knock me right off any pedestal anybody wants to have. Not on my watch. No. That was never the plan.
We were talking about primitive tribes, and they were describing primitive tribes of the concept of lawful and taboo. Primitive tribes have to evolve, and they're at a simple place. There is no concept of right or wrong, good or bad. It is monochrome. And in this context, now this one I was trying to figure out because we said the word Lucifer, the L word, and I wanted to see what they were really saying when they used the word Lucifer. In this context, you may see the one you call Lucifer as the true light bringer, in that the knowledge of good and evil both precipitated the mind, body, spirits of this Logos from the Edenic condition,
yeah,
of constant contentment, but also provided the impetus to move, to work, and to learn. Now,
that's the meaning of the word Lucifer, is light bringer. Look, light,
I know,
and
I know
there
that
is the root for bring. So, bring light. That's mm-hmm. what the word means.
Yeah, if you go into all the occult
look at
negative...
look at all the trouble that brings, then here comes right. choices.
Right, right. Well,
it's a lot of work to
let's read that again.
Get deeper.
I mean, this is really deep. Did you understand it completely, what I read?
Me?
Yeah.
I understand it as much as I guess a person can. I understand what the raw was saying.
Let me read it again. And it sounded to me that the reason Lucifer was the light bringer is that the knowledge of good and evil, in other words, prior to the implication is, prior to luciferic energy, there was only, at least in this one logos, there was only wonderful, beautiful people, Garden of Eden. And that Lucifer brought the temptation that created the duality which separated the Eden conditions of constant contentment, but also provided the impetus to move, to work, and to learn. Now, I'm not going to evaluate that statement. I'm just making sure you know what they're saying, okay? Those logi whose creations have been set up without free will have not, in the feeling of those logi, given the Creator the quality and variety of experience of itself as have those logi which have incorporated free will as paramount. Thusly, you find those logi moving through the timeless states at what you would see as a later space-time to choose the free will character when elucidating the foundations of each logos. So in other words, they're saying there, if you happen to come in one of those times when it was all Edenic, you know, all beautiful and loving and harmonious, you didn't grow. And you would eventually choose, you would choose to come in at some later point in the timeline into another civilization, into another society where there was negative and positive, because you knew that that was what you needed to grow, and everything else at that point had become boring. Did I say that right? You agree with that?
Well, boring might be a too strong of a word. It's just, but it's all right. Yeah, you said that all right.
Mm-hmm. It's not boring.
It's not even bad enough to be boring. It's just blah.
Blah, yeah.
But
so the next question is, I guess under the first distortion, it was the free will of the logos to choose to evolve without free will. Is that correct? That is correct. It was the free will of the logos to choose to evolve without free will. And Ra says, yes. The logos would have been, when they say the logos, do they always mean the highest of the high there?
Well, I think what they're talking about is the suns, the various suns. The beginning creations were set up without much free will. And gradually,
yeah.
As, you know, we're late bloomers. This galaxy is a late bloomer. It's out on the edge. And
mm-hmm.
it's late in coming to consciousness. And so it has the benefit of a lot of experience, and so I think the sub-logos are sun and the angelic entities of, you know, you call them the Elohim, tried to make a challenging free will universe in which it is boot camp, but it is a boot camp that is startlingly beautiful and amazingly ugly, and all kinds of polarities exist, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating in so many ways. There are so many ways to look at things, and there are so many ways to be, and so many
mm-hmm.
masks. I think when you think about the Garden of Eden, I've always thought it was kind of a really good story, because what's the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve ate the apple? They saw that they were naked, and they put on clothes. Well, isn't that a kind of symbol for all of the masks that we wear, to hide ourselves in one way or another? it's not, they didn't say that by putting, by, you know, eating the apple by the light bringer, he didn't bring sex. They'd had sex before. That's not it. It's that they had to hide the sex under a mask. And then, you know, look at other things that happened after the you know, they had children, and one child grew up and killed the other. That wouldn't have happened if there was no free will and nothing but the Garden of Eden. But they were cast out of the Garden of Eden because the light had come. And the light of spiritual inquiry is like a tiny bit of light in a very large amount of darkness. It's always enough, because the darkness will never overcome the light. But you're studying and trying to learn and trying to figure these things out in a dark, dark room, you know, a dark place where you can't see very well. You can't. You're seeing through a glass darkly, you know, to use some of the cliche phrases of the past. So it's a challenge, and I think it feels a lot like boot camp to me sometimes. Like, oh, my God, did you say 25 more push-ups?
Did you read Enki and Enlil? Did you ever read that?
What is it?
Enki and
Enlil.
And
no.
Someday I'll talk to you on the phone about this, because
or just send me the book.
Well, it's not a book. It started out with Zachariah Sitchin talking about these Anunnaki.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I read the whole
Earth.
Series.
You know,
we read them. We read
the two brothers.
Morning offering.
The two brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So,
the two brothers. Okay. Yeah, it's coming back. That's quite interesting, yeah.
Now, when we asked about that in some of our sessions, they seemed to give verification to Terry that was true, and that's the way it did occur. But on that note, we are coming to the end of this time, and I don't mean the time of December 21st, 2012. I mean the end of the time of this program on DBS Radio. And I would like to finish each of these calls. You know, when you're listening and we're talking, we're making a group energy. And it's been my contention, and many of you have experienced this, as we talk about these sources who are pure energy, they're able to flow into the space in such a way that we can feel them. And that when we have intentions in that space, we give wings to our intention to create shifts and manifestations in this realm. So I like to have a minute of silence, of bringing things forth, because there's a lot of energies vying for control here. And we are not vying for control. We are vying for... what's the word? Vying for space, free will space to, I'm getting tongue-tied and I don't have enough time, so let's just shut our eyes and bring in those sources that are positive and service to others into this space. And some of you can feel the energy coming through your crown chakra, and that we are making connection. And we ask that every opportunity be given to this planet in its transition, and any amount of support that can come from those invisible sources who look at us with compassion and empathy, we ask for that support. We ask for the reduction of the protection from those negative sources that would take away our free will, turn us into slaves, and that each of us has the strength to know that can't be done without our letting it happen. And we ask for the protection from earthquakes and chemtrails and HAARP and every which way that can allow us, so many people who are growing now, to allow their growth to occur to the point where they all qualify to graduate this realm. Those people that understand the game being played. And Carla, would you like to add anything to that?
Sure. Let us rest in the vibration of the Creator. Let us cease to struggle and relax into the arms of the universe.
And Terry's in the background holding the space. She didn't talk this show, but thank you, Terry, for being here, holding the space. And thank you, Carla. And we'll do more of these, taking the law of one material apart like this. And thank you all for listening, and I hope you learned something from it. And if you did, send me an email, because I think this is a really special thing with Carla, to be able to bring this kind of explanation and simplification to people. And on that note, we'll tell everybody goodbye and see you next week, or see you Wednesday when we ask questions that you send in. Okay? And Carla, anything from you?
Adonai.
Adonai. Okay. All right.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Carla. That was great.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessings,
thank
Carla
you.
And Wynn.
Thanks, all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye to all. Thank you, Wynn. This is Gary. Thank you. Thank you, Carla. Thank
love
you, too.
Guys. Love to you, nice. Gary.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches to you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Carla.
I didn't hear how your sister did.